This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Our Culture Gaming. I'm Scott, joined by Josh.
Hello, Scott.
Josh, my friend, there are ructions across the gaming industry as it seems like Ubisoft might be gearing up for a bit of a sale. Now, this comes from Bloomberg initially breaking the report. Also, Kotaku corroborated it by talking to various people inside Ubisoft, including senior, current, and former Ubisoft developers. And it seems like private equity firm Blackstone and KKR & Co. have preliminary takeover interest, but serious negotiations haven't begun, according to Kotaku and Bloomberg together. There's a whole bunch of reasons cited here, including the fact that Yves Guillemot, his son Charlie Guillemot, left last year, and apparently he was the one that was meant to be taking over the family business. But obviously, overall, Ubisoft aren't doing very well at all in regards to the, you know, the amount of games that they have in production, the amount of stuff that people just instantly hate the second they see it, the amount of formulaic game design they've got across the board, and obviously the amount of overall horrific allegation stuff that's been coming out across the last couple of years. So they're not in the healthiest space.
100%, Scott. This is doesn't come as a surprise. No. Let me tell you that in the year of acquisition, where we've seen, you know, everyone from Activision Blizzard to Bungie being bought up and stuff. Yes. Ubisoft has always seemed like a prime candidate just because of, you know, the reasons you mentioned there. Mm. You know, creatively, they're incredibly stagnant, whether it's older franchises, you know, not finding the love that they once did, or new IP like X Defiant or whatever.
Project,
you know,
just Q.
Project Q.
Why?
Just going down like a third, like barely.
More like
anyways.
Project Y. Hey? Old men!
More like Project Y. Yeah, like all that stuff coming out, and it just being, you know, landing with an incredible thud on top of the actual tumultuous goings-ons in the studio, like you mentioned, you know, the abuse allegations, you know, the turnover of staff. Mm. Having not fully sorted that, at least if previous developer comments would have you believe, you know, not fully recovering from that and incorporating a work environment that is healthier and what have you, we've looked at all the acquisitions this year, you know, Square Enix, Capcom, all of the potentials, and we've always said, you know, when we've talked about this, that it's, it makes the most sense for studios in decline. And for me, Ubisoft is very much a studio in decline.
Well, they have a lot of, obviously, valuable IP. There's a whole bunch of fandoms waiting for more things to be done with, for example, Splinter Cell, other than potentially just remaking the original, do something new with that thing, or whatever. It's worth running down the amount of different things they've got in the works right now, though, and the lack of confidence I think anyone has around the idea that they'll actually come to fruition. It's also worth pointing out that Yves Guillemot's son, like I said, Charlie Guillemot, he left college and immediately was able to head up a studio. They were the ones that made Tom Clancy's Elite Squad, which was one of the most repulsive things I've ever seen, to be honest. And then that fell apart almost immediately. And so, yeah, running down everything else that they were, you know, greenlighting, and then it always feels like they have a bunch of stuff they run with before asking if anyone wants to see it walk in the first place, whether it be NFT stuff or Battle Royale stuff or the Tom Clancy's X Defiant, like you said, which has now had the Tom Clancy name removed from it because enough people went, there's nothing to do with Tom Clancy here, and you're just milking the brand. So we'll run down a few things. I'll run down all of these in a row, and then we'll see what stands out. So we have X Defiant, which is their kind of Call of Duty slash hero shooter thing, which is still coming out. We have Project Q, which was announced across the last few days because it leaked early. Ubisoft had to get out there and say that it was this team arena style hero shooter thing. But it's, they were like, oh, it's not a battle royale.
No.
But the official company line says that it's going to let you own the experience more than ever, which people went, are you doing NFTs again? And they went, no, it's not NFTs, we promise. And then Tom Henderson is obviously known for various different exclusives and stuff, commented underneath this on Twitter and said that one of the modes you can pick is a battle royale. And so a lot of people are already quite skeptical of what the hell Project Q is. But there's also Assassin's Creed Infinity, which is their live service attempt to just do literally infinite Assassin's Creed things that you plug stuff into. Beyond Good and Evil 2, there's no way that thing's even real at this point. We've seen a tech demo.
That's never coming out.
Which might even be faked footage at this point. Killzone 2, there is Roller Champions, which was kind of their attempt to do a Rocket League style thing, with a which is all I'm all for, smaller little teams, smaller arcadey style ideas.
Yeah.
But the Roller Champions beta was very, you know, buggy and it wasn't very enjoyable. That's still in development. Like I said, there's the Splinter Cell the remake going on for the first game, which there's no way that remake mimics the feel of the original Splinter Cell at all. There's Skull and Bones, which is the pirate themed spin-off from Assassin's Creed 3, which has been struggling to come out from about 10 years or so. Maybe if it was AC4.
AC4 Black Flag.
Because there was pirate stuff in 3, but I think 4 is when that came about. There's the Prince of Persia remake, which was revealed way too early, from Ubisoft Mumbai, which are a new studio trying their best, but obviously that thing looked very ropey and was put back into active development again. And Ghost Recon Frontline, their attempt at doing a battle royale using the Ghost Recon engine, which comes after Ghost Recon Breakpoint, having a 93% operating income loss because that game bombed its arse off.
This is what really disappoints me about like Ubisoft in its current form, Scott Tilford. You know, you look at all of these games, and it's easy for me to say none of this excites me. This seems a bit rote, seems a bit formulaic. You know, over on the What Culture GM podcast, which you can go and listen to if you want.
Do it.
You know, we talked about how even their new IP is just kind of, rehashed.
You can see exactly what they're doing.
And essentially, you can see exactly what they're doing. They are new IP. They are fresh, original ideas, but they're based on bankable genres. They're based on bankable art styles. They look like other games, not only from the Ubisoft franchise, but from, you know, other franchises, from other studios. And it's such a shame because when you, like, you look at videos from the developers working on these titles, you can tell for the most part that, you know, like the artists, you know, the programmers, all of that stuff, like, have so much passion for their craft, have so much passion for the games. You look at the environments in an Assassin's Creed game and how lushly, you know, designed they are. And it's just a shame that all of that talent is being, like, you know, crammed into these checkboxed, you know, focus-tested ideas that just don't seem to be pleasing anyone. Like,
no.
When was the last time Ubisoft announced a new game, franchise, a new IP, or otherwise, that people were like, I cannot wait to play that? Yeah, you know, punch in the air.
Come on! Another Far Cry, come on! I mean, the thing is with that's the thing. It feels like, you know, it's like the Emperor's New Clothes kind of thing. Everyone knows what they're doing, and we've seen what they've been doing for the last few years. And I remember, even if you go back as far as Assassin's Creed Unity, I remember people thinking, you know, it's the turn of the generation and it's another Assassin's Creed, and it looks like it plays the exact same way. Although obviously in recent years a lot of people have reappreciated the parkour stuff that was in Unity. That was never brought to the forefront. That was never taken and ran with. It was just something that was sort of thrown in there before they went back to basics again. And it's just one of those things where, like you said, when was the last time they announced anything that had genuine goodwill around it? They've really struggled in that regard. And also it feels like they've chased a lot of trends. Like there was the NFT stuff this year, which was put into the Ghost Recon before Breakpoint Wildlands, which was they were experimenting in that. And then, you know, at one point it was rumored that it was shown that there was only like 14 people in the marketplace that were buying these weird NFT helmets or whatever for that game. And then they got out there and thanked everyone for taking part and appeared to sort of just shutter that and put it to the side. I also completely forgot that they launched Ubisoft Plus, which is their own version of a Game Pass type thing where they want to charge you a separate monthly fee for various games that are in the in their Ubisoft library. And also, to throw in here, in 2014, they made a big point of launching the Ubi Art Studio, which were the ones that were able to put together Child of Light and Valiant Hearts. And that was the last time I cared about an Ubisoft.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Before we go any further, I want to talk to you about today's sponsor, Masterclass. With the amount of time we spend discussing and analyzing video games on this channel, it's always good to understand exactly how these experiences are put together. And fortunately for me, I can do just that with Masterclass. With Masterclass's streaming service, you can learn from the best to become your best, studying and growing with over 200 plus of the world's leading instructors. For me, I've been having a blast using a class on video game design by The Sims creator Will Wright to find out exactly how game mechanics are designed around player psychology, as well as learning how important playtesting is to shipping the titles that you and I both love. But it hasn't stopped there, as I've also been brushing up on my practical filmmaking skills directly from my favourite movie director, Martin Scorsese, as well as trying to get back in the cooking game with Roy Choi's amazing course on intuitive cooking. Seriously, my kitchen is a mess, but my belly has never been more grateful. For just $10 a month, an annual membership with Masterclass gets you unlimited access to courses on your phone, computer, smart TV, or even via audio-only modes. Even better, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, and 88% of members feel that the service has made a positive impact on their lives. And to put the cherry on top of that cake, right now, What Culture Gaming listeners get an additional 15% off any annual membership at masterclass.com/gaming. That's 15% off at masterclass.com/gaming. What's that? You want it one more time? Well, that's the URL, masterclass.com/gaming. Right, now I'm going to watch Tony Hawk try to teach me how to ollie properly. I'll see you all soon.
Okay, well, those games, you know, had, like you said, had a lot of charm, had a lot of personality. Yeah. It didn't feel like they were focus tested in the same way as something like X Defiant is. You know, and that's the big shame. You look down, I think Tom Henderson was also the guy behind this, but, you know, their E3 equivalent show was kind of leaked. And we were looking down all of the projects that they might have there, including a lot of the games you mentioned in this video. And I remember just kind of looking at it all, thinking, there are so many projects here, and how are they all eliciting nothing? And I don't think I'm that jaded yet, you know. I want to get excited about video games. I want to get excited about Ubisoft games. You know, I've had a lot of fun with them in the past. You know, Far Cry 2, Far Cry 3, some of my favorite games ever. Even Assassin's Creed Valhalla, I found a lot to enjoy in. There are talented people there. Yeah. There are a lot of interesting ideas in those games. It's just like they're in this point where I do feel like, you know, they are ripe for a takeover and for someone to sweep in and be like, look, you've got so much potential in this company. We can hopefully fix it creatively and in the studios themselves and make it better, make it, you know, reach the potential that you could have. Because honestly, man, like, I don't want to be too negative or just like, you know, put the knife in even further, but when I look at the publishers, when I look at the studios, this is the thing, and I look at like Square Enix and I kind of like look at Ubisoft and I'm like, you guys are, how have you guys got to this point?
I tried looking at Blackstone and KKR and Co, and I couldn't find that many gaming credits for them. But obviously, they're a private equity firm. They could just take stuff over and just go, you guys just keep doing what you're doing and hope for the best. But obviously, the fact that the Charlie Guillermo, Yves Guillermo family connection is mentioned assumedly points to someone else taking over from Guillermo in the near future. I'd imagine that after all the allegations, all the conversations around how horrific the work culture was at Ubisoft, Yves Guillermo, his only defense was to go, I didn't know. I had no idea at all. Whilst booking his flights for the near is time he can get the hell away from it. So let someone else take over Ubisoft. If we go down this private equity route, then I guess you need to appoint someone else to take over Eve's role, and hopefully that changes what Ubisoft is as an entity. However, do you think there's any scope? Let's just talk about the idea of Sony taking them or Xbox taking them. Microsoft, sorry, taking them.
I mean,
for the lols.
We talked about the idea of FromSoft getting bought out last week, right? And we were talking about how that would be a bad idea because FromSoft is firing on all cylinders. You know, they are going from strength to strength. They are excelling beyond being independent. Mm-hmm. I do think, you know, someone like a Phil Spencer or even, you know, Sony or whoever kind of like coming in and buying Ubisoft can commit to making that publisher maybe better. You know, you look at Xbox and Activision Blizzard, which I think is the closest comparison for this. Mm-hmm. And that was an acquisition where I was like, look, I don't want any monopolies, you know, going down. I think this is quite scary that we're getting these massive acquisitions.
Insane, yeah.
But if there's a ship that needs, you know, steering, it was Activision, you know, like they were in a very similar position like we mentioned. And I just hope that say a Microsoft or say a Sony did buy Ubisoft, they would address all of these issues and hopefully give us more creative games made by people in a healthier work environment. Like you said, you know, you almost can't make these titles worse or more, you
more
know,
formulaic.
More chasing trends, mm-hmm. more NFT heavy. Like, you can't
do
that.
What's really weird is that if Sony, let's say Sony bought them, Sony of the two companies, of the two entities, if you go between Sony and Microsoft, Sony are the ones that have aped the Ubisoft model the most. Like, you can argue that quite sizable parts of the PlayStation signature feel are the refined parts of the Ubisoft side of things. Like, the Ubisoft stuff comes with workbenches already there.
Right.
Like, all the crafting components and the way that they do their open worlds, that largely transplants across to the way that Sony do their open worlds, albeit that Sony's ones have much higher production value and things like that. So I can see that transition. I can see, you know, Assassin's Creed becomes a first-party PlayStation franchise. Hmm. Not that much changes about it, other than just the general production value goes up and maybe they put more work into the overall cutscene. Maybe they ditch Assassin's Creed Infinity and start doing more opulent one-offs again and stuff like that. However, if they do Game Pass stuff, then I guess that's a way more interesting proposition because it would free up all those studios. You wouldn't have to focus all your things into specific AAA buckets. You could do more stuff like the Ubi Art stuff. You would get something like a Child of Light 2 or a Valiant Hearts or whatever in front of people a lot more, and I think that's more exciting. But I default to I want to see more from these teams anyway. I don't
100%.
You know, I don't want an acquisition for them to go, we're making more Assassin's Creed. Like, that stuff is done.
Yeah, I think, you know, a lot of their franchises would need looking at, you know, do we need Assassin's Creed as quickly as we get them right now, for instance, with as little changing from a gameplay perspective as we get now. You know, do we need this version of Ghost Recon? No, I already know the answer to this. We don't need this version of Ghost Recon whatsoever.
No.
We need a better version of Ghost Recon. I just hope whoever gets them, you know, whether it's on Game Pass, whether it's retaining the $70 price point of a Sony, you know, the games are better off for it. Whether that means they take longer to come out but are of higher quality, or whether we get more and more varied releases on something like Game Pass.
That's what I would always want. Final thing is, do you think, regardless of, let's say this goes through, we don't know who's actually going to acquire them, if they even are going to get acquired at all, but let's say they do. Do the vast majority of the games that I read out just get canned? Because there, you can see the cynical, top-tier business side that went, we should do a hero shooter that's got NFTs and it's a battle royale. Like, if anyone more creatively minded gets in charge, they're going to can every single one of them.
I think, I mean, it depends.
Anyone won't extify it.
It depends when
anyone
they release. You know, I would like... Okay, you know, again, not to dig the knife in, I want to be optimistic. I would hope that these games would continue to be developed, but would be overhauled in a way where they are healthy and where they are more creative and where they are allowed to release as live services even, but have something there that gets us in. Aren't just kind of doing, like you said, what other franchises, other studios are doing. We're not just getting hero shooters that look like Overwatch. We're not just getting Battle Royale games that look like bloody PUBG or Warzone, you know?
The thing is, like, overall, like, you know, we covered this in other videos. Like Josh said, if you check out the podcast, we talk about this stuff a lot. Jim Ryan and the Sony side of things are pushing into you know, live platform games and service games and everything else as much as possible. They have like 14 multiplayer games scheduled for before 2026. And if they bought up Ubisoft, then you have all these potential platforms that you can then just plug into your overall, you know, the assumptive model they're going to have in the future with PlayStation Plus and all the different, you know, the different premium tiers and things like that. So they potentially have an ecosystem gearing up to go. I just don't personally think people want.
I'll tell you this, my friend.
Go on, my friend.
It almost feels like an apocalyptic time to be a video game fan. Between NFTs, between, you know, all of these takeovers, between hero shooters, it's just, there are some publishers doing it wrong, and I'm scared we will get more doing it wrong.
It speaks volumes that I've spent the last week only playing old Sonic games.
It
I've
goes.
Not played a single new thing in a week. Sonic Generations, though, legit, a goat.
Well, that screams volumes, and it also screams you might need to see a doctor.
True, but also let us know what you think down in the comments below of one 3D Sonic era, and also what you think of the idea of Ubisoft being bought out and who should grab this company and do stuff with them in the future. That sounds horrible, but what I meant was in a business context. For now, I've been Scott from WhatCulture.com.
I've been Josh from WhatCulture.com.
And we'll catch you next time.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
ACAST powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.